Then I would like for you to turn with me, if you would. Make your way over to the book of Lamentations. We're going to begin in Lamentations chapter 3, but there's three passages of Scripture in particular we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Lamentations 3. We're going to look, secondly, at Deuteronomy 7. And then we're going to look at Psalms 119, everybody's favorite psalm to memorize. And then we'll look at some other passages as well. But I want to deal today with the faithful God, or the faithfulness of God. And I know that it's a theme we've covered several times, and we hear about a lot. But you know, in a world of chaos and uncertainty, in a world that is reeling in so many ways, politically, morally, not to mention spiritually, I believe it's important that we remember, always remember, that the God we serve is the faithful God. He is the faithful God. In Lamentations chapter 3, I want to read verses 22 and 23. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I know that's true for me and for you. It's of His mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. In verse 23, they are new every morning. And then this profound statement, great. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Of course, that's the words of the beginning of a very famous hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, a hymn written by a fellow by the name of Thomas Chisholm. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. No shadow of turning. I think it referred to an hourglass that, you know, it's always moving. Sun's always moving. The shadow's always, you know. Sundial. Yeah, not an hourglass. A sundial. Thank you. So there's no shadow of turning with Thee. God doesn't change. He's not fickle. He doesn't change directions like the wind and the shadows and so forth. In fact, the song says, the hymn says, Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. That's right out of Malachi chapter 3. You know, I am the Lord, I change not. God doesn't change. He's steadfast, He's faithful, He is the faithful God. That hymn has been called a hymn written out of sadness. That particular hymn, written out of sadness. Some of the hymns had stories of a great tragedy and loss. This hymn didn't come from that background, but it was written by this fellow named Thomas Chisholm. He was a Methodist minister, a pastor, who, after several years of preaching and ministering, he lost his voice. His voice left him so that he could speak barely above a whisper. Now, it's hard to be a preacher when all you can do is whisper in a day without amplification. It's not like they had microphones and amplifiers back then. So you can't preach. You're not going to be a preacher. And then, on top of all of that, his hearing started to fail. And the doctor said there was nothing they could do for him. So in all of this, Thomas Chisholm was offered a position with the denomination. He was a Methodist, and at the time, the Methodists preached something. Yeah, they did. Back in the day, they did. Back in the day. They lost their way, like so many others, but back in the day, they preached the gospel. But the Methodist denomination offered him a position with the group that I think they were putting together the hymn book, and he decided he would submit some poems that he wrote for consideration. Maybe somebody would put it to music, and one musician looked over the words to this hymn, this poem, and put it to the music that it has today, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the hymn was born. It was born out of, here's a guy who couldn't preach and he couldn't hear, but he could still write. And this is what he wrote. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. He worked for the denominational organization for a while, and then guess what? His voice began to come back after several years. And that particular hymn, by the way, went on to become one of the great songs of comfort during the Great Depression, when people could talk, when the church could gather in times of great lack and sing and remind themselves of God's faithfulness. God's provision. He's always faithful to provide. Yeah. And then later during World War II was also became a standard in the hymn books, and other groups like Billy Graham, Moody Bible Institute and so forth made that hymn a standard. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness of Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. It's a, God's faithfulness is that attribute that reveals His absolute, unfailing trustworthiness. God is absolutely trustworthy. You can trust Him. You know, the Bible says God can't lie.
That's right.
He cannot lie. There's things God can't do. He can't contradict Himself.
Right.
He can't lie.
Amen.
He can never cease to be God.
That's right.
He can never be less than what He is. He's eternally God. And the Bible repeatedly tells us that His word is true. John 17:17, Thy word is truth, the Lord Jesus said. If it's true, if God can't lie, then you can count on it.
That's right. That's wonderful.
Psalms 119, verse 160 says, Thy word is true from the beginning.
Amen.
Thy word is true from the beginning. And what it actually reads, like the King James, it's true from the beginning, but the literal translation is, the sum, the entirety, I mean from beginning to end, of Thy word is true.
Amen.
Every word of God is pure.
Amen.
So we are reminded that God is absolutely and forever faithful. Again, Lamentations 3. This is the first passage we're looking at this morning. Lamentations 3, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. New every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. You know how I like to think of it? Think of it this way. Like the manna that was so faithfully there for the children of Israel in their wilderness wandering. The manna was there every morning.
Amen.
Every morning without fail, it was there. Now, the day before the Sabbath, they could gather twice as much because God wanted them to rest on the Sabbath day and didn't provide any manna on the Sabbath. But they had manna new every morning, rain or shine, winter, summer, whatever it was. It was there. All they had need of was there every single day. No one lacked. No one went without. No one had to go to bed at night and worry whether there'd be manna in the morning, because they could count on God's faithfulness. They were new. His mercies new every morning. The manna was there every morning. Listen, even when they failed God, even when they sinned, God still provided that manna every day. Now, that's an incredible thought to me. But for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness, even when they messed up, God was faithful. You know why? Because he promised. That's why. He promised that he would provide that manna for them every single morning, and God always keeps his word. I want you to be reminded today that God promises to provide your every need. Every need. He promises to provide your every need. It doesn't matter what the weather's doing. It doesn't matter what the economy's doing. It doesn't matter what the president's doing or not doing. It doesn't matter. New every morning, God's provisions never failed. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, great means to be mighty, to be strong. Great, to be powerful. It means exceeding much and abundant. Great, great is God's faithfulness. His faithfulness, that's a reflection of his character. It's a reflection of his nature. He's the faithful God. In fact, that's how he describes himself in this second passage we're going to look at today, in Deuteronomy 7. God reveals himself to Israel in the law. He revealed himself, of course, in a way that no other nation has. He had never revealed himself to any other nation this way. But here in the law, back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, this is how God describes himself. I want you to look at these verses with me. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God. He is the faithful God, which keepeth covenant. He keeps covenant. What does that mean? He keeps his word. He keeps his pledge. He keeps his promises. He is trustworthy. He is the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, I want you to look at that verse again, verse 9. The Lord thy God. He's your God. He's Israel's God, but he's our God too. The one true God. The God, you know, they were called to worship this one true God, right? Because he's God. He alone is God. There is no other God, as the Bible tells us repeatedly. And notice what kind of a God he is. He's not like the goddesses and the gods of the heathen nations that were petty and vindictive and capricious and untrustworthy because they lied and deceived. You know, the gods that the heathen worship, I don't know if you ever looked into any of the, I don't recommend you study those things, but it's interesting, and I have studied those things, mythology and the various gods and their attributes. You couldn't trust any of them. They were deceptive, they lied, they were immoral. And they were supposed to be gods and goddesses. You couldn't trust any of them. Petty, capricious. No, this is how our God describes himself. The Lord thy God, he is God. He is God. All these others, they're not God. They're nothing. They're demons, if anything. They're not God. He is God. And notice, he is the faithful God, the faithful God, the God we serve is the faithful God. Yeah. Thank you. The God of Israel declares himself to be the faithful God, and he doesn't lie. Thank you, Lord. He keeps covenant. He keeps his promises, keeps his word, does what he says. Yeah. And when it says he's the faithful God, it doesn't mean he's the semi-faithful God or the mostly faithful God. The occasionally faithful God, You don't want a God who is mostly faithful. Just like you don't want a spouse who's mostly faithful. You want a spouse who's entirely faithful. Hello. Well, the God we serve is entirely faithful. Always faithful. Eternally faithful. Ever faithful. He's faithful to his promises. And he's faithful to his people. He's faithful to his promise. He will never fail his promise. And he's faithful to his people. Now, the people he's faithful to are the ones he's called out from the world. He's called out from out of the heathen, out of the heathen nations. He's called them out to be his own special, separated people. And that's also right here in Deuteronomy 7, where he says, verse 6, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You are a holy people unto the Lord your God." He's chosen you out. This is what he said to Israel, right? But you know, he says that to us too. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he says, "But you," he's telling the Gentile church this, that's you and me. We aren't Jews, by the way. But he says, "You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, a special people." That should show forth the praises of him that's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people. That is, we were not the Jews. We were not them. But now, he says, you are the people of God. And at one time you had not obtained mercy. You weren't part of that covenant. But now you have obtained mercy. You are a holy people, he said there in Deuteronomy 7, 6. He told them in verse 7, "I didn't call you because you were the most powerful nation on earth or because you were even the best people in the world. But he said you were the fewest of all people. But verse 8, because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath that he swore to your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore," verse 9, "that the Lord thy God, he is God. He is the faithful God that keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." This is really the faithfulness of God is one of the great truths, the great doctrines of the Bible. God's word is good. If he gives you his word, it's good. It's so important to have this settled in your heart that God is the faithful God. He is faithful. It's been the subject of, I mean, 1,000 songs, probably 1,000,000 songs, 1,000,000 hymns, 1,000,000 sermons, or millions of sermons. And it's been the subject of those things for good reason. Not just because it's comforting, but because it's true. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. You can count on it, beloved. You can depend on it. Great is thy faithfulness. Not great was thy faithfulness. Not great was thy faithfulness once in times past and in a land far away, but great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is right now, right here, present tense. God can be trusted. He can be fully trusted. And we put our life in his hands. We put our eternity in his hands because we trust him. It's good that there are men and women we can trust. I mean, the Bible speaks about a faithful man who can find. I mean, the truly faithful are hard to find. But even the best of men and women are still fragile, frail, and finite.
Amen.
And can disappoint you because,
right,
well, they have limited abilities, limited resources. And you know what's a great limitation? You can only be one place at a time.
Yeah, that's right.
And the strength and wisdom you offer is pretty puny.
Amen.
Even the strongest of us.
Yeah.
It. But God, who is everywhere present, who hears every prayer of every child, and who is unlimited in might and power and ability and wisdom, well, he's the one who's always faithful. He's always faithful. It's the word faithfulness, by the way, or God being faithful, you know, this is attached to his unchangeableness, his immutability. It means to be steadfast, to be firm, to be stable, to be unmoved. Unlike the world, which is shaking. It is shaking. But our trust in God, while the world shakes, let's not let our faith and trust in God shake with the world. Let the world shake, but the God we serve is the faithful God, the trustworthy God. So today I want to make three main, I guess you could say, points or three main statements that I want to remind us of in times of turmoil and chaos, in a world of confusion, in a world of fear, in a world that you wonder if they haven't all lost their minds. Diane and I committed our lives to Christ. We trace it back to 1974 when we really committed everything to Christ, and baptized in the Holy Spirit and put all of our faith and trust in him. So, you know, 1974, that's nearly 50 years ago. It'll be 50 years in just a couple more years. For it's 48 years. And 48 years of serving the Lord with all of our hearts, I can say from my experience, but more importantly, I can say it because of the testimony of Scripture. Because my experience is limited, but I can say by the testimony of all of Scripture, I can make this statement. God is faithful through the years. He is faithful through the years. Again, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. He is the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And then I had said that there were three scriptures we were going to look at. The other one was in Psalms where?
119,
which everyone has committed to memory, I'm sure. If not, then I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Psalms 119, and we'll look at a couple of verses over here. We're going to read verses 89 and 90. And the point I'm making is that God is faithful through the years. He's faithful through the years. He says, Psalms 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's settled, it's established, it's as unmoved as heaven is. "And thy faithfulness is unto two generations," three, four, five generations. "Thy faithfulness will last for 100 years, 500. No, thy faithfulness unto all generations, unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abides." The Hebrew, and probably the margin in your Bible will read here, "thy faithfulness unto all generations." Thy faithfulness to generation and generation. In other words, one after another, after another, after another, continuously ongoing, enduring, everlasting, valid forever.
Amen.
His faithfulness forever.
Yes.
He's the forever faithful God. That means his promises don't expire like your grocery store coupons.
Yes.
I get Home Depot coupons in the mail. They send me a coupon. This is good for 10% off. And I put it on the side because I'm always at Home Depot. And I said, next time I go, I'm going to use this coupon. But the next time I go, it's already expired.
Right. Yes. True.
We sat down at a restaurant. Diane had a card good for $10 off. She said, oh, this expired at the end of last month. Well, you know, some promises and benefits expire.
Amen.
But God's faithfulness,
thank you, Lord.
God's faithfulness endures through the years.
Yes.
Generation to generation never expires. He is not the God who was faithful, but the God who is faithful. He's not the God who was faithful to them alone. He's the God who is faithful to us as well.
That's right.
Great is thy faithfulness. That's what the Bible says. You know that old hymn. I love a lot of those old hymns. I think a lot of the old hymns have some great theology. But I have to tell you something. They don't all have great theology. And not all of them were really all that great. You ever sat down with a hymn book? How many of you grew up like in a church that sang the hymns out the old hymn books? Okay, here's my challenge to you. If you can find one of the old hymn books, pick it up, look through it, and see how many of those hymns are familiar to you. Because while we talk about the great old hymns, the truth of the matter is, I doubt if I know 10% of them. And of the 10% that I know, not all of them were that great. But there are some that were really great.
True.
And those I have a great affinity for, because I grew up singing those old hymns. But let me tell you, don't dismiss everything that's modern and contemporary in worship music, because there's some good stuff that still comes out, and it's biblically sound. Some of it comes even from sources I'm not too sure about. But when it's a biblically sound hymn, I'm good with it.
Amen.
In fact, just last week, we were singing a song, modern, pretty modern. And part of the chorus was this: all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been faithful. Now, I ask you, can you sing that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
All of your life, all of your life. I mean, you can look back and you didn't even recognize the faithfulness of God back then in so many occasions, in so many ways. But all your life, God has been faithful. That's why you're here today and not dead. Or in hell, you know. Don't dismiss everything because it's new. It's I hate all this new music. Well, I don't like it all either. I don't like all the old music either. So that's why we are selective. That's called being selective. You select what is worthy. And if it's true, you know, I love this song that we sing that I think is so profound. It's called I Believe. You're my healer. I believe you're more than enough for me. What a powerful song. It was written by a guy who was faking an illness. True story. The man who wrote that song, the man who wrote it, was wearing an oxygen mask with a little tube in his nose. And he composed that song, pretended he was dying of cancer. I don't know why. I don't know what his motive was. But this is a true story. To get sympathy from everybody, maybe he was going to one day pull it all off and say, I'm healed. But his own father exposed him to be a fraud. He was a worship leader in a mega church. But can I tell you something? It hasn't stopped me from wanting to sing that song. Because I believe you're my healer. I believe you're more than enough.
Amen.
He is. Now, I'm not going to sing no Mormon hymns. I don't know what they're liable to sing. God bless my 13 wives or something like that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they sing, but. All my life, you have been faithful. It's true, you know.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord.
Whether you serve the Lord a day or a year, some of y'all have served him much longer than us. But he's been faithful.
Always.
And he will always be faithful. He will always be faithful. It's his nature. He cannot be otherwise.
That's right.
He is the faithful God. You can count on the Lord. He will keep his promises. God is faithful.
Amen.
Through the years.
Thank you, Lord.
His faithfulness is fixed. It's permanent. In fact, we just read verse 90 right here. You still there? Look with me. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. That extends all the way down to us. Thou hast established the earth, and it abides. The earth remains. The earth is still here. It's still here. Now, he connects it to his faithfulness. And this is the picture. How many storms, how many mighty earthquakes have shaken the earth? How many storms have ravaged the top of the planet? Through the centuries, through the thousands of years of hellacious storms, hurricanes, winds, we can't even count them all. And yet the earth remains. It's still here. It still abides. No matter what the winds and rains and storms do,
Amen.
The earth is still here. And God is making a comparison. So is his faithfulness. No matter what happens in the world, God is still faithful.
Amen.
You know, great storms blow. They blow all the time. They've blown for 1,000 years, thousands of years. But the earth never did blow off of its axis.
Okay.
It never did just, you know, it's a sphere. It's a globe. So it never did just roll off into outer space somewhere. Because, you know, it hangs upon nothing except for the word of God. That's got it standing in place. Let the winds assail.
Amen.
God's word doesn't fail.
Thank you.
Nor does his faithfulness. It endures to all generations.
Right.
So God is faithful through the years. And that brings me to my second point this morning. Not only is he faithful through the years, he is faithful through the tears.
Thank you, Lord.
God is faithful through the tears. And I would be willing to guess that you've cried a few of them.
Yeah.
Like everyone else on earth.
Yep.
Like everyone else on earth. The Christian is not exempt from tears. There's nothing you'll find in this Bible that will say you're exempt.
Amen.
And in our getting close to 50 years of serving the Lord and over 50 years of marriage, there have been tears. There have been tears. Now that's tears both of joy and,
right.
and tears of sorrow and grief and loss. You live for a few years and you know what it is to lose friends and loved ones and family members and to have to bury people that you love. Irreplaceable, you know. There's been tears of personal pain and physical pain and emotional pain and tears of disappointment, tears of grief. Tears I've cried so many times with other people in their loss and their grief, just comforting them. I feel the emotion of their loss. I can't help it. I feel the grief. I feel the pain and the sorrow that they go through. Amen. And then there's those tears you cry with others and the tears you cry alone in your own private grief and your own private sorrow. I think sometimes we can all identify with Job when he said, Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of sorrow. I think it was the bishop's, the old bishop's Bible that translated it. Man that is born of woman has but a short time, has but a short time to live and full of misery. Well, there's a man who, he was writing from a unique perspective in a time of great grief. A time of great loss, a time of great sorrow. But you know, he too could declare, just like you can, that God is faithful through the years and even through the tears. God is still faithful. He is still faithful. We don't always understand or see the great purposes of God in what goes on in our lives. We don't always see it because we don't have that vision to see the future. Amen. But God, who knows the end from the beginning, sees it all.
Thank you, Lord.
There are times in every life when we go through sorrows and pain and grief and tears. But even through the tears, God remains faithful.
Amen.
And since you're right here in Psalms 119, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, look with me in let's read verse... Let's read verse 75. Psalms 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. In faithfulness has afflicted me. Now, you know, affliction, it's not something we desire.
Right.
In faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. I know, O Lord. We need to know this too. We need to know when we go through affliction,
right,
suffering, trouble, trial, difficulty, problems, whatever form affliction may take. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments... Now this means the divine corrections. This includes the divine chastisements, thy judgments, thy chastisements, thy corrections in my life, the decisions you make. I know that they are right. Whatever God does is right. I know, Lord, whatever you decide is right. It's right. Whether I see it right now or not, whether I understand this that I'm going through right now, whether I understand it or not, that's not what matters. What matters is that we know that God, in faithfulness,
Amen,
allows these afflictions to come.
Thank you, Lord.
There are times when our faith is tested and tried and proven, when we are examined. It's all part of the process. God is refining people, just like the refiner refines precious metals. He's refining silver. He's refining gold. He puts it through the fire, gets rid of the impurities. We're familiar with that scenario, right?
Amen.
Well, God is doing the same thing. He is producing in his people a Christ-likeness that cannot be produced any other way but through trial.
Amen.
And you still hear verse 71. Look with me in verse 71, Psalms 119. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Romans 8:28. I put that into play right here.
Amen.
That all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. Somehow, I don't understand it all the time. But it's good for me, he says. It's good. It's incredible that the psalmist is able to recognize that. Because we don't find much good in grief. And yet, you're going to experience it. And that's not a bad confession. That's just a statement of fact. Look, another verse right here. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I have kept thy word. You know that God has his way of getting us back on course. His rod and his staff. You know, the staff has that big old hook on the end of it. And the shepherd might let a sheep just go a little bit off course. He might let the sheep go over there, but he starts going too far. That big old staff's going to grab him around the neck and yank him back. All your corrections are good and just and righteous. And in your faithfulness, you have afflicted me. Here's what we want to keep in mind. If I am going through these times of trial and affliction, sorrow, grief, difficulty, trouble, I know y'all never go through those things, but some of the rest of us do. But if you do find yourself going through these periods in your life, it's not because our God is unfaithful. It's just the opposite, as these verses we just read say, it's good. For me, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, verse 67, but now I've kept your word. Hallelujah. The Bible also tells us that we're not to despise the chastisements of the Lord. Don't detest his correction, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father corrects the son in whom he delights.
Thank you, Lord.
Take comfort in this knowledge. You may suffer here. Affliction, pains. And those pains can take all kinds of forms, you know.
That's right.
Physical discomfort, emotional trial, trouble. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Hallelujah.
We will suffer here in this world. In this life and in this place. But this is the only place we will ever suffer. Because once we graduate from this place, there's no more sorrow, no more tears, no more suffering, no more grief. So our sorrow is very temporary. Thank the Lord, very temporary. Let me read another passage since we're still right here in Psalms 119. I want to read verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. My comfort in my affliction. This is my comfort. God's word.
Thank you, Lord.
God's word is what gives us comfort in times of affliction. What else is going to give you comfort? I have a footnote in my Bible that says, God has ordained that his word, made powerful by the Spirit, will bring comfort, hope, and strength to his faithful as we experience trouble and sorrow. Because God's word is living, it has power to revive and restore us who abide in it and in God. When in trouble, turn to the Lord and his word, and wait for his Spirit to give peace to your heart.
Amen.
I've got one other point I want to make today. God is faithful through the years. He's been faithful through the tears. And God is faithful to deliver us through all our fears.
Amen.
Faithful to deliver us through all our fears. In Psalms 34 and verse 4, The psalmist says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from most of my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. If you seek him, he'll hear you. And delivered me from all my fears. You know, the Psalms are tremendously comforting.
Yes, yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack.
Amen.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whom shall I fear? I mean, I'll fear no evil. Yes. Thou art with me. Your rod and staff comfort me.
Amen.
We have to remind ourselves of the passages
yes.
in the Bible that promise we won't be afraid, and Psalms 91, all these great passages of Scripture. We want to remember fear is an enemy. Fear troubles our minds. It troubles our hearts. It vexes our thoughts. It robs us of our peace. It robs us of our joy. It steals our song. It paralyzes our faith. It brings torment, the Bible says. Fear has torment. It deprives us of sleep. It's from the pit. No, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But that doesn't mean we don't have to fight against these assaults that come against us, these discouragements that come against us. And, you know, it's a constant battle. We have to battle the human tendency to worry, or to be anxious, or to be fearful. It seems like sometimes the assaults get worse in the middle of the night. You know, during the day you're busy. You're working, you're doing this, you're doing that. There's all kinds of noise around you. You know, there's activity, and your mind isn't really all that still or focused. But it's in the middle of the night when everything is quiet and your mind finally, you're trying to rest, that all of a sudden, these thoughts start coming into your mind. Things, of course, a lot of times what bothers me is I start thinking of, I remember everything that I had forgotten to do that day. And I start remembering all the things I need to do tomorrow. So I can start making a list in my mind. There's been many a morning that 3 a.m. finds me in the study. Because rather than lay in bed and battle sleeplessness, I'm going to go be productive in the study. Many a time. And I'll be crawling back into bed at 5 a.m. only to have my wife wake me up at 6. It's easy for me to go to sleep. It's staying asleep. That's often the battle, you know. Often the battle. It's those wee hours of the morning. King Nebuchadnezzar, this is what he said. Listen to this. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 5, Nebuchadnezzar, he says, I saw a dream that made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. In the middle of the night, all these troubling things. Now, you know, he's a pagan king. But being a king exempted him from some worries and anxieties. For instance, he didn't have to worry about paying the rent, you know. I'm going to pay this big insurance bill. What am I going to do with this property tax bill? Or how am I going to pay for groceries this month? I mean, he's king. This guy's King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He probably had a few bucks. He might have had to be concerned about being poisoned by his own kids even, you know. But in these wee hours of the night, like Nebuchadnezzar found himself troubled, these thoughts came into my head, these visions, these fears. Do you know what it's like to not be able to turn your mind off?
Yes.
When you have to start pleading the blood and you recognize, I'm under attack here.
Yes.
The devil's trying to rob my peace and my sleep, and I'm pleading the blood over my mind and over my thoughts in the name of Jesus. Rebuke anxieties and worries and fears and a million swirling thoughts that just want to keep you awake in the middle of the night. Confess the promises, plead the blood, rebuke the devil. And remember, can I tell you something that God said to Israel? You're going through all of these things, then I want you to remember. That word, remember. I want you to remember. He said, Psalm 63, listen to this. Psalm 63, verse 6 and 7. This is the psalmist. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. I will remember thee in the night watches. You know what God wants us to remember? That He's always been faithful to you. He has always provided for you. He's been faithful through the years. He's been faithful through the tears. And He'll be faithful through all of these fears. You don't have to deal. You don't have to succumb to this. Even in the night watches, I will meditate on thee. Psalm 63 and verse 6. When I remember. Hey, sometimes we just have to remind ourselves, Lord, You've been so faithful. All these years, You've been so faithful. Never missed a meal. Never had to live in a cardboard box under an overpass. He wants us to remember that He's always provided. Remember His faithfulness through the years. He told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to read another verse to you. In verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 2. He said, all the commandments that I command you this day shall you observe and do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember. That's a commandment. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 days in the wilderness. Remember, remember, remember. 40 years God was faithful. 40 years you had manna in the wilderness. You never lacked a meal. 40 years He provided water from the rock. 40 years your shoes never wore out. Your clothes never wore out. You always had a pillar of fire and a cloud. God was with you every day in every way. Your enemies never did overwhelm you. Remember. Remember His protection. Remember His provision. Remember His love. Remember His healing. He gave them a special covenant. I'll take the sickness away from the midst of you. All the plagues I brought upon Egypt, I'll take them away from you. I, the Lord, am your physician. Amen. He wants us also to remember His faithfulness. And you know, when you're battling in the night watches, remember His faithfulness. Amen. His faithfulness always to provide. Remember what He brought you out of, that past life. God has been like the new hymns we sing. Right. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. So good to me, so better than I deserve.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He wants us to remember. It'll calm our troubled hearts. It'll calm the fears and the anxieties and the worry in the mind. Look, every one of us has battles that we have to deal with. And you have battles. I'm not exempt from battles either. And I can let these things, I could let them just torment me. But we can't. We can't let these things torment us. If I let myself, I could worry.
Yeah, sure.
But I have to remind myself, You've been faithful, Lord.
Always,
You've given promises, Lord.
Thank you.
You've been faithful to Your word through the years. Provided every need through the years. He's not going to fail now.
Never.
another passage, God told Israel, Isaiah 46 and verse 9. He said, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God, there's none like me. Amen. Remember the former things of old. You know what he was reminding them of them then at that time? I want you to remember the mighty hand that I delivered you with. I took you out of Egyptian bondage. I plagued Egypt. I destroyed Pharaoh's army. I divided the Red Sea. Remember, I provided for you always. He wanted them to remember his mighty acts, his mighty power. Which of the heathen gods demonstrated that kind of power? Which of the heathen gods divided the sea? Which of the heathen gods brought plagues upon? None of them, because they are no gods. He had continually demonstrated to them that he was God and there was no other. So he wanted them to remember. Remember the former things of old. And we too can learn from that. Whatever's troubling you, remember God's assurances. Remember his promises. Remember that he's the one who said he'd never leave or forsake us, that he'd provide our every need, that we could take no thought about tomorrow, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on, how you're going to pay the bills. Take no thought. Yep. So you seek first the kingdom, I'll provide all these other things. Amen. This is a time of economic instability. Yeah. And the temptation to worry could affect us all. But you serve a God who's not limited by whatever's going on here on earth. You serve a God with unlimited resources. And he calls for you to trust him. If you're an employer or an employee, you could wonder about what the future may hold. Inflationary times, crazy high interest rates, scarcity. Your God will provide. You remember how faithful he was to provide in the past, faithful to Israel, provide manna every morning. Look, God's going to provide for you and me.
That's right.
Look at the birds of the air. He provides for them.
That's right?
Right?
Amen.
He'll provide for us too.
Yes, he will.
Then, couple of last little thoughts. You're going through trial and trouble. You're going through difficulty and problems. You feel the temptation to whine and complain and maybe think that God's not taking as good a care of you as he should. Just remember this. It could be a whole lot worse. Whatever you're going through, it could be a whole lot worse than this.
Yes, it could.
Whatever I'm going through could be worse.
Amen.
Hey, it's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Something else to remember, others have been where I am.
Right.
I mean, I'm not the Lone Ranger here.
No.
Going through these trials and troubles.
True.
Others have been where I am and have overcome.
That's right.
Trusting the Lord.
Amen.
So can I.
Yeah.
In fact, not only have others been where I am, there are others who are in a far worse condition than I am. And still they're rejoicing and singing and counting God faithful. So buckle up, buttercup.
Amen. Yep, thank you, Lord.
And then a last thought, just a last final thought. Psalms 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning.
Yes, it does.
These trials, just comfort yourself with the knowledge that they're momentary. They are temporary.
Thank you, Lord.
The trials are temporary. The blessing and reward for faithfulness is eternal.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
So let's be encouraged.
Yeah.
Let's be encouraged.
Thank you, Lord.
That our God is faithful.
Always.
We can trust him. He always does what he promises.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's pray, and then I'm going to have our musicians come, and our brothers will come and will pass out these communion elements. Hallelujah. Father, I do thank you for your faithfulness through the years, through the tears. Despite our fears, you are faithful. Help us to trust you, to believe you, and to be the faithful men and women of God you call for us to be. Cause us to have a new boldness, just a new boldness to stand, to believe, to trust. In a time of shaking, in a time of chaos and confusion, Lord, we are not confused. We know in whom to trust. Just help us to remember, Lord. We can trust in you because, well, great is thy faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have our